Hey guys, support for Black Girls Do Stuff 2 comes from Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Alright y'all, so you know November is my favorite month. We've got Thanksgiving, we're getting into the holiday season, and it's No Shave November. But I just want to emphasize that No Shave November is for your face, not below the waist. If the reason you're avoiding downstairs grooming is because you're scared of getting hurt, fear no more. We've got a fix for that. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. So manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And why do you need Manscaped? Because you don't use the same trimmer on your face that you use on your balls. That's just nasty. Y'all should know better. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, so why aren't you putting it on the smelliest part of your body? Yeah, the smelliest part of your body. We're here to help you out. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGHEADS at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGHEADS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Just use the code BIGHEADS. All right, y'all, let's get into the show.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Black Girls Do Stuff 2. I'm Nick.
And I'm Tiffany.
And today we are on episode 3 in our food film series. We're covering 2 chef-centered movies today. But before we get into it, you guys already know what's up. Tiffany, how was your week?
It went. I got put on a couple of new projects at work, so it's been busy, but not busy. Busy in like the I need to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing now. Busy kind of work.
Okay.
But other than that, not much. What did I do this weekend? I went to a brunch with some of my high school friends. Mm-hmm. Well, middle school, I guess. And I've been working on my mother's blanket.
Oh, nice. Nice,
like the old lady that I am.
Well, for me, I have been sick since last Sunday.
You even took a sick day.
Yeah, I even took a sick day. I took 2. Like, one, I worked from home and I realized I couldn't even do that. I needed to completely take off because I just felt terrible and I wasn't letting myself rest. Mm-hmm. So I've been sick, so I didn't really do anything during the week. And then this weekend, because I'm a big baby and I'm worse than men when they get sick, I went to my parents' house and I laid on my parents' couch and I hung out with them and I got to see my niece, caught up on TV and watched a few movies that I didn't see from this year. That
Lifetime?
No, actually I watched Greta with...
Chloe Grace Moretz.
I watched Greta, and then I watched, me and my mom, we watched Happy Death Day to You, because I actually liked...
The first one or the second
to
one?
To You was the second one. I actually liked the first one. It's like a dumb horror, you know what I mean? Like, it's dumb, but it was good enough. I liked it, and so I see why I got a second one. I like the spin that they put on it. They brought in, like, a multiverse into this type of movie, which I just thought was hilarious and fantastic and all the good things in the world. So yes, I did enjoy that. Greta was definitely a story that,
I still have not seen that movie yet.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like a psycho thriller kind of thing. Yeah, kind of psycho thriller. And you normally don't see these type of movies with like, whenever they put a woman as kind of like the antagonist in these type of movies, they usually kind of make her super deranged and crazy and all this, but there's so many layers to the performance of, I can't think of her name. She's been in so many things. The lady who plays Greta. Does she play Greta? Yeah, she plays Greta because it's 2 weird names. So Greta. And so there's so many layers to her performance of who she is and why she got the way she is and even how she is the way she is. That, like, I love it. I loved her performance in it so much. She was the star of the movie more than Chloe Grace Moretz. But yeah, so that's what I did. And that's it, I think.
You didn't do Disney Plus?
I Disney Plus through the week. This weekend, I didn't really do it because I was at my parents' house and I was
I literally was just like laying on a couch. I don't even think I moved to another room. Like I stayed on the couch the whole time. So that was kind of my whole thing. And I didn't really Disney Plus, but when I tell you I got so much Disney Plus in just on the day off and then the other day, the work from home day and all that, like I was proud of myself for only watching two Avengers movies, okay? Or two Marvel movies.
So what did you watch?
Two Marvel movies.
What are you watching on Disney Plus? Let's discuss.
What am I watching on Disney Plus? Well, I watched Captain Marvel, finally.
Okay, what'd you think about that?
It was okay. It was good. It was good. I mean, I have my biases because I have my favorite Captain Marvel, right? So, like, that in itself is already kind of like, okay, whatever.
She could still come.
She can, and I mean, she's in the movie. She's actually written into the Scarlet Vision show. So I mean, okay. She's gonna be there. It's not gonna be played by me, unfortunately, which is like a dream, but whatever. And so, I thought that the movie itself was, I mean, it was pretty good. They did a good job with her. I think that my favorite part of the entire movie was the end when the like. The get up scene, the stand up part, which I mean, they obviously put in the movie to be the part that people are like, oh my goodness, yes, stand up. I'm a woman. Yay. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's like the Wonder Woman coming out of the pit part.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was a moment where I was like, okay, I see where they're going with this. I like this. I love Samuel Jackson's performance in the movie. Performance in the movie. I actually liked Young Coulson in the movie. Like that was like funny as well. And so yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's definitely not one that I would watch all the time. Like I don't watch Guardians over and over again. I probably won't watch this over and over again.
I've learned that I can't watch Endgame over and over again. Tried to watch it a second time on Disney Plus and I like fell asleep.
Well, I won't say that because I've probably seen Endgame about 6 times. So I won't say that because I definitely watched it once. I saw it only once in the theater. Once or twice in the theater.
We saw it together.
Yeah, we saw it together and I think I watched it with my mom because my mom was convinced she needed to watch all the Marvel movies. And so we watched most of them in the house. Unfortunately, she's not seen Guardians of the Galaxy because my mom saw Infinity War first.
She didn't need to see Guardians.
Yeah, but she saw Infinity War first and she was still so mad at Quill she wouldn't watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't blame her. He was a dumbass.
Right, and for her, she doesn't have the connection to anything because Infinity War, I think, was really her first one other than maybe Iron Man. She had seen Iron Man before because she calls the Avengers Iron Man and them.
I mean, she's not.
She's
wrong.
Not. And that's how she refers to it. She's like, oh, is this Iron Man and them? This is the first one or the second one? And I'm like, thanks. Thanks, Mom. That's all I'm ever going to call them now.
Like all the Captain America fans were bitter because Iron Man was in Civil War. And they're like, it was all about him. And I was like, well, he is the best actor in this
That's
movie.
True. He really
it
is.
It makes sense. They give him the most emotionally weighted things to do.
They do, because half the things that people love of his performances are like improv almost even. Like he takes like the outline
the
of
snacks.
The script and he's like, I'm going to do it my way. Thank you. Goodbye. Move out of the way.
Or even just like the snacks.
Exactly.
That's just him on set. And they're just like, well, he hasn't. There's no way we can cut it out.
Right.
So
we're just going to do what he does. I haven't started watching any of the series yet. I am going to start.
Mandalorian.
So I haven't watched that because I know it's Star Wars and I don't know where it falls and the stuff. And I am.
It's after. Okay. So I'll tell you.
Okay.
It's after the original trilogy, but before the newest ones that have come
out. So I haven't even seen those yet. So my plan.
So you don't need to see those ones because this is before.
But you said it's. I haven't seen the original three. So
you haven't seen the one with like Harrison Ford?
I've never seen a Star Wars movie. That's what I've been telling you this whole time.
Have fun editing that out.
I don't know how many times I've said this on the show.
I feel like I just like block you out because I don't want to believe it.
So
my brain is protecting me from this.
So December 1st, I am embarking on a journey to go... Where no man has been. That's the wrong franchise. That's my franchise, but that's the only reference I have. So I am embarking on a journey to watch all of the Star Wars. So I even put out a poll.
May the Force be with you.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was about to do another Star Trek thing.
I thought you were about to do Zoltan. No,
Zoltan. Oh, my gosh. I thought about doing Where's My Car the other day. Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to be watching Star Wars for the first time.
And you don't have an excuse now because they're all
on exactly. Disney Plus. Exactly. Once I saw they were all on Disney Plus, I was like, I got this. So I put a poll on Twitter and I asked what was the order I should watch in. And the options I gave were 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or other. And when I tell you, I got everything, even something called the kamikaze version, where you just don't watch some of them. And I was like, okay, guys, thank you so much for your input.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, so the kamikaze, and they wrote it out. I bookmarked the tweet so I can refer back to it, but it's only watching some of them. So,
okay.
But I'm going to watch all of them. And I think I've decided, oh, they're going to come for me when I say this. I think I've decided to just watch in 1, 2, 3 order, because it will tell me the whole story in order.
I feel like you should, because it's not, people will tell you that you're supposed to watch 1, 2, then like, what is it? 4, 5, and then 7, like then 3, then 6 mm-hmm. or whatever. That's a version that people tell mm-hmm. you to watch because they don't want you to be spoiled. But I'm just like, everybody knows that Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Yeah.
So just watch 1, 2, 3.
Right. I'm like, even I know 4, 5, that. So that's 6. Like, fine. Like, mm-hmm. okay. So I will be watching Star Wars all through December. And I will let you guys know what I think. I actually am completely neutral. Like, I'm not one of those Star Trek people who feels like they can't watch Star Wars or anything. Now let's get into the actual episode.
We did kind of have a wild tangent.
We really did. And I'm trying to see, I'm like, how long is the tangent even? Because it's like 13 minutes. Okay, cool. but no, that might be like a bonus episode I can put up, which is about just why I would watch Star Wars. Or I'm going to watch Star Wars, and what order should I watch it in and all that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get into the episode now that you guys know that I have never seen Star Wars, and Tiffany is absolutely,
Star Wars version.
She's absolutely shocked by this, which I don't know how, because she has known me pretty basically my whole life at this point.
I told you why. I blocked it out to protect myself.
So if you want to have me react to Star Wars, let me know, because I'm more than willing to do that for you guys after I watch each movie, let you guys know what I think. But for now, we're going to get into, like I said, the third episode of our food film series. And we're covering two movies today that are chef focused, and they are Burnt and Chef. Mm-hmm. So let's just go in ABC
Ironically.
Order. I know, right? Like Burnt and Chef. So let's go in ABC order. We'll start with Burnt. Some background on this, I picked these two movies. There are two movies that I actually enjoy, one more than the other. I like Chef.
Was it Chef?
Yeah, I love Chef more than I love Burnt.
I like Chef more.
Burnt, I don't, it's like, I feel like I like it because of what it could have been if they had written it just a little bit differently. But mm-hmm. I still...
They didn't need that romance. They could have
Yeah, I mean, there was a... We're going to cover all of that. But even just like where they decided to pick up and drop it. Yeah, we're going to talk about all this. So I enjoy mm-hmm. Chef more, but I still have a love in my heart for Chef. I'm sorry, for Burnt. And I think it's because of... It is a really good... Visually, it's a very good food movie. Like, just mm-hmm. them preparing the foods and the way they talk about them tasting and things like that. And that just is like... The food nerd in me loves it. So let's jump into Burnt first. Mm-hmm. Burnt is a 2015 movie starring Bradley Cooper as Adam Jones, who is mm-hmm. kind of a chef who's on his road to redemption. Essentially, he had a bad past and in Paris, and he was in New Orleans. Now he's going back to London, and he's really trying to redeem himself and work his way to his third Michelin star. He has to mm-hmm. build up a crew and learn how to work with people again, learn how to get past his past, both physically, emotionally, mentally, and then also answer to some of his past transgressions as well. And so,
oh, and he did drop that pepper.
And so the movie itself really tells the story of Adam. Like I said, it stars Bradley Cooper, but it also has Daniel Brühl, Sienna Miller, Omar Sy, Alicia. How do you say your name? Vikander.
Vikander. Uma. And it's Alicia.
Is it? What did I say?
Alicia.
Oh, Alicia. That's because I told you, I think we're cousins. Uma Thurman and Emma Thompson. Yep. And mm-hmm. Emma Thompson. So it has a great cast, actually. They just weren't used to the best of their ability. The screenplay mm-hmm. is by Stephen Knight, and it was directed by John Wells. It really only grossed like 16, 17 million over budget, basically. That's what it made in the box office. So it ended up being like the second bad kind of movie for Bradley, bad quote unquote movie for Bradley Cooper.
Box office wise.
Yeah, box office wise. After Aloha was before that. And we all know about Aloha because, yeah, we don't even acknowledge that movie anymore.
Nope.
So
that was Scarlett Johansson before Scarlett Johansson was Scarlett Johansson.
No, because didn't Ghost in the Shell come out before that? Or at least it was announced.
Ghost in the Shell came out like last year.
No, it wasn't last year though, but it was
came out 2 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe 2 years ago, but it was announced by then because people were up in arms. Like people were up in mm-hmm. arms around the same time because I remember that being a part of the conversation of like, why are these people getting cast as Asian characters when they're not mm-hmm. even part, a quarter, no. an eighth. Like, I don't care what your ancestry.com
says. They always say that it's...
Says.
They always say that it's because, like, the actual animes that they make in Japan and stuff, mm-hmm. that the characters look white, and they don't actually research, and the reason why they do it is so that people can tell each character apart. So they'll give them a different hair mm-hmm. color or different eye features, and it has nothing to do with them trying to make them look white. They're just so you know who's who.
Exactly. And then on top of that, when they do cast, you know, Asian actors and things into the roles that are supposed to be like paying homage or even based off of that, all they basically do is like, oh, we're going to give you an edgy outfit and a colorful hair streak. Boom.
It's like, it's always purple.
No, sometimes it's pink. It was red in the Wolverine. So, you know, blue is a popular color as well. We're starting to get into neons. But that's beside the point. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. So in this particular movie, I'll just talk about why I picked it really quickly. I really like the food work in this one and the food imagery in this one because it was about getting a Michelin star. They really did prepare meals that you would find in really upscale and forward restaurants, like food mm-hmm. for a restaurant. So just the way they talked about food, the way he would prepare the food, it was so beautiful to watch as somebody who loves cooking. So that's mm-hmm. one of the things that really got to me. And I did enjoy parts of the story. I liked seeing him struggle to get to where he was going and never really get there. But getting mm-hmm. to a point of being like, this is where I am and this is where I want to get to, and achieving something like having an achievement such as a Michelin star isn't going to get me where I need to be mentally or as a person. So like it really at the end kind of doesn't mean anything, and mm-hmm. I need to work on me, you know? And I like that part that it was kind of unresolved, you know, mm-hmm. but it was unresolved, but on its way, you know? So I enjoyed that part of it.
I feel like for me, mm-hmm. the parts that I wish that they had worked on more was just his journey to where he ends up at the end, mm-hmm. kind of. Because mm-hmm. it's like one really bad thing happens, and then it's like he kind of, after he, I'm in spoilers now, I'm sorry. One really bad thing happens, and it just like switches for him, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have saw more of his like, not so much a struggle to get there, but realizing that he needed to get there and just not doing it because he didn't have the drive. Am I making sense?
Not really.
To do it without spoiling.
Not really, because, and this one we can just go ahead and talk about it because I think we've both kind of talked about the movie a little bit. Okay. I think first, start with what you did enjoy before going into what you wish was okay. different, because that kind of sets it up a little bit better.
I liked Helene's character and her daughter. I liked watching her as a single mother having to struggle to make it in this world mm-hmm. and showing that she did have to make sacrifices mm-hmm. kind of a thing. But then also showing how the chefs, and not chefs because they're not all chefs, but all the people in the kitchen and the restaurant and stuff kind of became a family both
at the restaurant and outside, and how they helped her with her daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, when she wanted to be there for her birthday, but she couldn't because Bradley Cooper wouldn't let her off. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the one guy that owned the restaurant was like, I'll just watch her for you. Yeah. And she can just have a day at the restaurant for her birthday.
Yeah.
And they all basically bullied damn Bradley Cooper into making her a birthday cake.
Well, I don't even know if they, like, really bullied him. He realized
he's just basically, like, he kept obnoxious. Saying, I'm not making the cake. And yeah. He was just like, you're going to make the cake.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of looked out there, too, and was like, you know what? I am being somewhat of a jerk, you know?
Yeah. And he sat down and he ate it with her. That was one part that I liked for his character, too. One character part that I liked. Mm-hmm. And I would have, honestly, would have liked to see more of him with the daughter. Maybe even just one more scene. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but... Mm-hmm. Because I thought that interaction was interesting. Because I don't know. I can't explain it. That was probably one of the parts of the movie where I actually wasn't crocheting and I was watching it. When she was tasting his cake and she was like, I've had better.
Yeah.
And then she handed him the fork like, you taste it.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, like, for me, like, what I actually would have been more interested in seeing is the stuff that they reference, his life in Paris.
Oh, yeah, I agree
like,
with
I
that.
Feel,
as well.
I feel like this, like, the beginning of the movie, instead of just saying, like, oh, I'm coming to fight you because you ruined my restaurant, and he's like, man, I was on drugs, I'm sorry. Like, instead of saying all that and with dialogue, yeah. Like, just let that be the beginning of the movie, because there was a lot of things in the middle that could have gone. So, that setting that up, I think, would have made everything else stronger, because you would have understood a little bit more of, like, he feels like he's fine, so he doesn't want to do therapy, but he needs to do therapy because he's not fine. He has been dealing with a lot, not just, like, because he's him, but it's well known that within the industry of being a chef, it's a very demanding lifestyle when you're at that level, and really, if you're cooking in general. And then there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of alcohol, there's a lot of addicts in the industry. So to be able to show somebody who's at that level and performing, but, like, they're really dependent, they have, like, a lot of substance abuse issues, and this is all the things it could lead to, you know? So I would have loved to see that, like, initially.
Especially with Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, like, with that
especially because her character kind of has a big part at the end with helping him out. But she only has, like, two scenes in the whole movie.
I mean, and they explain it. Like, they verbally explain it. It's like, wow, it would have been great to see that, you know? So, yeah, I would have...
It would have been great to see him with her dad, because it seemed like her father had such an impact on his life.
Was his
but
mentor.
You never see him. Yeah. You never see him on screen. He doesn't really talk about
him,
I don't think. Well, I know he's dead, but, like, because she makes a point, like, he kind of abandoned her at the funeral or something like that around the time he died.
He left her. So, like, it would have been good to see that.
But he doesn't really talk about him. Mm-hmm. It's like she shows up to, like, the last quarter of the movie.
Like,
I would
the
say,
third
like,
act.
A little
basically.
Bit after that. And then they're talking about all this stuff, and I was just like, oh.
Yeah, like, okay. Again, I think that they did too much with dialogue and not enough with visual. And I think we talked about that before, like, being able to actually, like, show the story rather than tell the story. Because I'm there to see a movie. I'm there to see a story, you know? And, like, the dialogue should support that. But, like, we have to remember, there was a time when films existed without words and without, you know what I'm saying? And you could still understand what was going on. So I think that instead of, like, showing it, or telling all these major things that kind of helped to build and define who the character was, then they could have shown that through showing more of his background, you know?
I think that's what I was trying to say earlier, is just, like, it's like, as he was changing, I didn't really know who he was before, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, people said it. And, like, certain things I did pick up on that they probably shouldn't have brought out. Like, I picked up that Daniel Brühl's character was gay in the beginning. Because I was like, oh, he's sniffing his shirts. Is he in love with her?
Right. And, like,
and then the person was like, you know he's in love with you, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, we all know.
Right. Like, I hate that part. I hate that part of the movie. Like, I literally hate, like, I'm not even, I mean, I guess if you want to be one of those obnoxious people who are like, LGBTQIA for ally. Like, I don't need a letter. Like, you know, whatever. But I don't need a letter to be an ally. But not even being like a direct member of the group, you know what I'm saying? Like representation, mm-hmm. when I talk about representation, like of course I'm speaking as a woman, I'm speaking as a black woman, as a black person. But even like within communities I don't belong to, I still don't want to see like these stupid stereotypes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they never even, there wasn't even a point to that scene. It would be something if it came up again or, you know, whatever, or I was here for him for a long time, you know.
I think it was kind of meant to explain why he was, this one Daniel Brühl's character was so willing to go above and beyond.
Right, but I'm like,
for Bradley's Cooper's character, yeah. And it's, you could have just, that didn't need to be
said.
It
didn't.
And then also the part with Uma Thurman when she was like, I'm a lesbian that slept with you. I was just like, who? Why? Why was this even needed?
Right, like you don't need that. Like Bradley Cooper, granted, yes, he's an attractive man. He ain't that fine though. Okay.
No.
But when he speaks French, I'm going to say he jumps out like 3 points because he was speaking French to that movie and I was like, oh my goodness. Goodness gracious. Like,
kind of like Salt and Pepper Boy more, and it was just the salt and pepper part that did it for me. I was like, oh,
I know. I'm just saying, it's something about, well, you know, I love France. It's like my second home, and I love when people speak French. So Bradley Cooper, like, I've watched full interviews of Bradley Cooper in French because it just like rolls off his tongue so beautifully.
That's what she said.
One thing that I really enjoy was you mentioned it earlier, was the thread of the family meal. Basically, as they are getting to know each other and work together as a team and become a cohesive unit, as you need to be in a restaurant kitchen that's very successful, they have a family meal. They cook for each other and they sit and they eat it as a family, and Bradley never joins in. And so that was like a running theme throughout the movie, was you would see them sit down and he would look over and they kind of look at him like, I mean, you're kind of a jerk, but you can come over here because you're still family. We all got that one cousin and
named Faith,
right? Bringing it full circle. We kind of have that, everybody has that one person, but you're more than welcome, and he never joins, and they kind of never look at him as if he's a family member. It's like, we're here, but do we have your back? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. We got to get to the situation. And so it's kind of working for him to kind of let his guard down enough to go and join them.
I called that the end of the movie, that it was going to end with him joining them at family.
You knew
dinner.
That because they were showing it too much. But I liked it because I don't think that it was so much of a, I don't trust them and want to be their family. I looked at it more of, I don't want to join them because I always let people down. And he felt, when he joined, it was more like, I trust myself to connect with these people now. Like, I don't think I'm going to let people down in the same way anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So.
You're Ben.
So I enjoyed that. That was something. One thing I did want to mention is Jamie Dornan was originally supposed to be in this movie. He was in the movie.
That.
But then his scenes got cut. And I'm like, who would cut him?
He's so pretty.
He is so pretty.
Oh, one thing I did like the character David. I finally liked that they let him step up after he got shit on the entire movie. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad for him. Is his name David? Am I saying that right? Is it David? I want to say it was David. Is the one that Bradley Cooper goes and kind of shanghais into living with him and his girlfriend.
Right, right. I know who you're talking about, and I can't really remember. The main character's names I remember are Adam, because that's Bradley, and Helene and Michelle. So
Michelle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Michelle. Petty King.
Petty King. I do really enjoy that he was so petty.
Because one thing I will say that I did think in the beginning, it was just like, he talked about how this guy literally ruined his career in France cooking because he released rats into his restaurant, and he's just like, after he punches him a couple of times in a fight scene that was very confusingly filmed, because at one point one of them was in the headlock and then it would flip to another angle and the other one was in the headlock, and I was like, when did this happen?
I'm telling you, people don't, these editors, when they watch them, they're like, well, we can't do anything about it now, so let's just, I told you,
it's just,
there's so many movies where I've like noticed a character literally each frame moving to a different part of the room, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go with it.
I didn't see it, but after he was like, he released rats in his restaurant, I was like, why would you want to work for him? Why would you even want to be friends with him? We would never be cool again. Mm-hmm. You literally ruined my career and my home.
Yeah.
And then it came around and he was not cool.
He wasn't. I don't know. It's like, I appreciate his petty because he was committed to the petty. Like, he had to work.
He was long-term petty.
It was like the long game. It really was. Like, he had to work there and deal with him and be in the restaurant with him and everything, knowing he hated him so much to get revenge. And I'm like, okay, I get it.
Especially with him being such an a-hole to him the whole time.
But I'm just like, I guess I'm in a different part of my life at this point where I'm just like, I get it. I really do. And I used to be that way where I would do it. It just takes so much energy to do that now. You know what I mean? And especially at that level, it takes so much energy because like at this point, like if you ever did have an opportunity to work again, like maybe you couldn't work in Paris or whatever, but if you ever did have an opportunity again, no, you really don't. Cause nobody's going to trust you in their kitchen. You know what I mean? So yeah, yeah, it was just like, come on, Michelle. Come on, Michelle. So he was like very upset about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all in all, I would say out of 5 stars, I would probably give this movie like a 2.5. I have a love for it for, like I said, the food aesthetic. And I do have a love for where the parts that I highlighted. I don't want to go through it again. Mm-hmm. But where it could be improved, I think, is showing more than telling, especially the background stuff that happened prior to the movie starting.
Okay. So for me, I liked it better than Ratatouille. And since I gave Ratatouille a 2, I'm going to give it a 2.14 stars.
That's not a thing. It's
a 2.25 stars.
Okay, you can do that.
They can do it. They can do it on
Star
a
Search.
Star Search. I gave it 2.25 stars.
Okay, that's fair.
Because that didn't bother me, but I watched it, and I wasn't bored for most of it, but it's not something that I would run to watch again.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I have watched it more than once, even though I give it a 2.5 stars. But I have watched, but I watch most things more than once. I have to really not enjoy a movie to not watch it again. Because I watch mostly everything at least twice, if not 3 times. I know, because I like to go and get everything that I missed.
I could see that.
Hey guys, it's Nick. And first, I just want to say thank you for listening this far. I really hope you're enjoying the episode. Now's the perfect time to go get a snack or grab a drink and get ready for what we have next. But if you want to continue the conversation, be sure to connect with us everywhere that we are. Our own website, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and YouTube. Everywhere that I mentioned is Black Girls Do Stuff 2, with the exception of Twitter, where we're Black Girls Do Stuff, and the black is BOK. Oh, and before I go, don't forget to subscribe to us so you always know we have new heat coming to your ear holes. All right, let's get back into the episode.
Hey guys, before we get back into the show, I just wanted to remind you that we're still working with MyBookie, which is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash for your wallet. Between football season, the NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's really time to get off the sideline and get into the action with MyBookie. If you're the type of person who likes to bet a little to win a lot, they have something for you called Parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, you should do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit by 50% all the way up to $1,000, which means if you deposit $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. I mean, that's a pretty good deal when it comes to betting. Just enter the code LATEFEES to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LATEFEES to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
So now we'll move on to Chef, which I love this movie so much.
I would watch this one multiple times. I really like it.
Love this movie.
I'll give you that one.
So 2014 movie, written, directed, and starring Jon Favreau. It's a comedy drama where where Burnt was a drama, straight up. Chef is like a comedy drama because it has its moments, but it's mostly entertaining. It's mostly lighthearted and fun, as far as like the tone of the movie, but it does have its dramatic moments. It also stars John Leguizamo, Sofia Vergara, mm-hmm. RDJ, Dustin Hoffman, ScarJo. So, like, mm-hmm. it has a really good cast as well. And
it had a whole tree?
It had a whole tree. So the movie is basically the story of a chef who's working in a restaurant. He hit the scene pretty hard, like, when he was younger, as being, like, innovative and creative. And he kind of got locked into the corporate chef environment of, like, someone who owns the restaurant who just doesn't get the vision and wants to mm-hmm. keep up with kind of, like, let's just stay traditional. That's what we're good at. That's what got us famous. Not realizing that's not what keeps people coming in the doors. So they get an opportunity to have a critic come into the restaurant, and when he prepares the meal, that's like the traditional thing that Dustin Hoffman's character actually wants him to make. The critic's like, boring, basically, and
roast his whole life. Right,
he's like boring. So John Favreau replies and is like, let's have a rematch, a showdown, whatever. And he didn't realize it was public at the time, but it got really popular. So he goes back.
It was on Twitter.
Right, it was on Twitter. So he goes back
he's
in.
He's the old man tweeting.
Right.
He thought he was sending a private message, and really he was subtweeting.
Right. So he goes back to the restaurant. He has this whole meal that he's going to make. And basically Dustin Hoffman's like, nope, shut it down. And so he walks out. He's like, I'm done. Bye. He quits. But they have the critic come back and make the same tired meal. The critic doesn't know that it's not Carl, who is John Favreau's character. He doesn't know. So he's basically like, you suck. You brought me here to eat the same thing again. And Carl loses it. And he goes to the restaurant to confront him. And it just goes viral. And so it's like a video. And it's all over the news. It's all over like everything. Because the critic's pretty famous. Carl's pretty famous as a chef in LA. Mm-hmm. And so it goes viral, and basically it leads to him kind of being like, he can't get another job because it's just like reputation management sort of stuff. And mm-hmm. So he's like really sad about it. So he goes with his wife, who is Sophia, his ex-wife, who's Sophia Vergara, down to Miami with their son. And while he's down there, he realizes things that he loved that he missed. Like Cuban food and cuisine and just cooking for passion and eating things that excite him. And so he ends up getting a food truck from RDJ, who is her current husband. And he's like loaded, and he is such a jerk. He's kind of Tony Stark again. Like mm-hmm.
He may or may not have gotten his receptionist pregnant.
Right.
But he said he got his tube tied, so he doesn't think it's his baby, but he's going to let her pretend it's his baby so he can hold it over her
exactly,
head.
Like,
to keep her working for him.
Oh my goodness. He's such a funny character. Like, for the brief moment that he's in the movie, it's just a hilarious performance.
I was sad he didn't show back up
at the end. I really wanted him to be there again. But basically what happens here is Sophia Vergara talks him into buying him a food truck, and because he's a jerk, he buys him like the worst, like mm-hmm. like run down, disheveled
nastiest.
Food truck. And John Leguizamo just kind of shows up and is like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, I don't want to work for the restaurant either. I want to do what you're doing. So they mm-hmm. decide to clean it up, and they get other people to help by cooking them food. And that's pretty much like the first moment, because when he was crafting the special menu, you got to see stuff or whatever. Like, he was passionate mm-hmm. about cooking, and he does do a scene where he's like cooking for his son, and he makes him like a grilled cheese. That grilled cheese looks so bomb.
It did. I was thinking the whole time I was watching that. I was like, I want a grilled cheese. Why don't I have any bread in my
exactly,
house?
Exactly.
I need some tomato soup because it's cold.
So, like, whenever he's cooking from a place of passion, the food just looks so good. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. The music is good in this movie. It's, like, bomb in this movie. And then when they go down there, they're basically like, help us clean this thing out, fix it up, or whatever, and we're going to make you these Cuban sandwiches. I make the best Cuban sandwiches. Like, it's going down. And they do, and the Cuban sandwiches look amazing.
Yes, they do.
And I wanted one immediately. And so...
I still want a grilled cheese.
Right? So, yeah. So, then the rest of the movie is really a journey of them driving the truck through the country to get back to L.A.
From Florida.
From Miami. And they stop at all the major food cities. And his son comes along, and it's an opportunity for them to bond because the son lives with the mom. And he's like always in his phone. And of course, because John's character Carl is an old man. Because
that damn cat is back. I'm sorry.
Because he's an old man, he doesn't necessarily connect with his son on the technology standpoint. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is an opportunity for him to kind of learn a little bit more about how technology can help his business and help him with his reputation, but then also to grow closer to his son and teach his son about cooking and working for a living and things like that. So it's just a really good intertwined story of just like chasing your dreams, doing what you love, not losing sight of like your passions and what brought you to like the pinnacle of your career, or the height of your career where you are now, and how to take those things and always continue to do them and push yourself forward. And I just love mm-hmm. this movie so much. Like, it's funny and there's like emotional parts in it. And again, the food in this movie just looks amazing.
I just want a grilled cheese.
I know, right? And like the set, like I mentioned before, the music is great. The music is so good that like when the soundtrack was released, it got all the way to number 5 on the Billboard charts for US soundtracks. Really? Yeah. The music, it's Latin jazz, it's the blues, it's like funk and soul, it's like New Orleans jazz, because they hit New Orleans at a part. So it's like a wide variety of music, and the music really punctuates the scene of where they are. And mm-hmm. like then it brings back to your memory, like what kind of cuisine were they making? Because when they would go to different cities, they would have specials of like, we're in Miami, we're doing Cuban sandwiches, we're in... New Orleans, we're going to do po' boys.
They're doing po' boys. Yeah,
like, you know, things like that. And I just thought that...
Texas, they did barbecue, brisket.
Yeah. So it was just, like, really cool, like, as a movie from a food perspective, if you just like movies. I think Jon Favreau is a great director.
I agree and with that.
I really like his writing as well, especially, like, mm-hmm. this movie. I just loved it so much. And it actually mm-hmm. did really well. I think the budget was around 10 or 11 million.
And it made 41?
46, I think, or 47. So, yeah, it got like, I mean, that's pretty good, especially for something that's more independent, because it was like produced or released, distributed by like Open Source Films or Open Heart Films or something like Open Gate Films. Yeah. So, like, you know, very small, what would be considered independent movie. And mm-hmm. did very well in the theater and had great reception. And I...
Monique loved it.
Love this movie. I do. I would give... This is one of the movies... I don't think I've ever rated anything a 5 out of 5. And I would probably rate this movie a 5 out of 5. Because it hit all of my, like... I enjoy this. It had food. It had good music. It was funny. It had emotion. And it had Robert Downey Jr. Loved it. So yes, a movie almost always has to have Robert Downey Jr. to get a 5. It doesn't always have to, but it better be darn good. But this one had it, so I'm like, I think even without Robert, though, it would have gotten a 5 from me, because the movie is just mm-hmm. that great.
I guess Knives Out, you better have a RDJ cameo.
It's Chris Evans in a sweater. I mean, I can't, that might get a 5-star just without seeing it. So, and Jamie Lee Curtis and Toni Collette, that's like trifecta right there. Oh, I was about to name like every other person who was in the movie, but basically
Daniel Craig,
who I like, but I am not like, I never watched Bond, so I'm not like super connected with Daniel Craig.
I first saw him in his Dark Materials, the Golden Compass, the
right,
movie
that you like.
He was he was Lord Tumnus's character. What is his name? Professor X. Mm-hmm. What is his name?
Oh, James McAvoy. I didn't know. Oh, yes. Okay. I didn't know you were asking me. I thought you were... Sorry.
No. He played James McAvoy's character in the movie of the Golden Compass. Okay. And I remember liking him in that. He was one of the... I actually liked that whole movie.
Yeah, I don't... I haven't seen it, and I don't have anything against him. I just don't have anything I'm really connected to him with. But, like, Jamie mm-hmm. Lee Curtis, I love, and have loved all my life, because I'm a horror mm-hmm. buff. And then...
And True Lies.
I mean, True Lies, yeah. But for me, it's all about Halloween, Mike Myers. Toni
True
Collette,
Lies and Trading Places for me.
Toni Collette, I love. And I literally didn't know I loved her until I finally learned her name. And I was like, every time her face shows up, I get excited. I've loved her forever. Because, like, she's so good. And then, like, again, mm-hmm. people know, like, I'm going to go, I will never go down in history without mentioning that she was robbed at the Oscars because she did Hereditary.
Oh, she was.
And I'm just like, I'm still upset about it and I'm going to be upset forever.
Because I think it takes a great actress to be able to play a character that you both dislike and also sympathize
exactly.
with at the same time.
Exactly.
Like, that's very hard to do.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, this movie for me gets a 5 out of 5. No shame. Like, not hiding it. If you want to come for us for that one, then whatever. Fight me, bro.
Come for us for you. I'm giving it a 4.5.
That's fine.
Because I liked it. I would watch it again. I liked... The best parts for me were the parts with the son and the dad, because mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for family relationships getting mended, mm-hmm. and I love them going on their journey across country together, and then him coming back, letting his son know, like, you know, when we get back home, it's not going to be like this anymore, and the son was like, but I don't want exactly. it to go back to the way that it was, and I was like, me neither!
So then, what keeps you from giving it the other half star?
I don't know. There aren't a lot of movies that I would give fives to.
Well, I think that's a bad way of rating things. I think a bad way of rating things is I don't want to give fives, so I don't give fives.
No, that's not what I'm saying, though. It's like, I liked it, but I wouldn't say that it was a perfect movie.
I don't think
five out of... And that's what a five means to me.
Oh, so for me, a 5 out of 5 isn't based on it being perfection, because I don't know that a perfect movie exists for me. At all, and I don't know that one will, because I think there's always ways to make a movie better. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, compared to a lot of what's out there and enjoyment level, I think
I'd still give it about 4.5.
Yeah, I still think, because I would love to see your five list. That's what I would love to see. We don't have to talk about it here, but we mm-hmm. can definitely talk about the five list later.
Okay.
And then, so with the food film series, what we're doing is giving you guys a recipe with each episode. And so for this particular one, I have something that has been requested from Lizzie Angel website for a very long time, and also it's perfect for Thanksgiving, and that is macaroni and cheese, baked macaroni and cheese, which I realize you have to specify. I didn't know that, because baked macaroni and cheese is literally the only thing that I grew up knowing.
How do you make the other one?
On the stove, I guess. I don't know.
In the microwave?
I don't know.
Are you talking about the powdered cheese and macaroni?
I don't know, but I was telling people that I had to make this mac and cheese, so I was going to bring it to the office, because I have to make it in order to photograph it and everything. I don't want a pan of macaroni and cheese just sitting in the house, because I will eat it. So I said I'll bring it in, and somebody's like, baked mac and cheese? And I was like, no, they were like, baked mac and cheese? And I was like, yeah, baked. Yeah, it's baked. I guess that's what you mean. Like, yeah, baked and blah. I was like, yeah, that's mac and cheese. And they're like, oh, man, I'm so excited. It's baked mac and cheese. And I was like, why do you keep saying baked mac and cheese? And they were just like, because you bake it and blah, blah. And we didn't eat that kind. And I was like, well, what kind did you eat, though?
What kind did you eat?
Because I never got an explanation. So that is, to me, like, the great mystery. If you know mac and cheese that's not baked. But it's not Kraft.
I feel like...
Or it's Kraft.
Oh. I think that's the only one I could think of was Kraft.
Like, it's Kraft, then, like...
That's what? Like college mac and cheese.
It's not for me. Shoot, I was still eating baked mac and cheese in college. I wasn't playing with y'all. Okay, so yeah, is Kraft mac and cheese, like, what baked mac and cheese is not? Like, is that the only other thing, or are there other versions? We just didn't grow up with it, so the only mac and cheese we know... is baked mac and cheese, which is like, there's kind of two versions. They're both supposed to be custard based, but some people don't make the custard. They just pour milk and eggs and cheese and noodles, and it'd be gross. But you know what I'm talking about. And then there's like church mac and cheese, which is bomb.
It's like you eat it and you know that it's
blessed.
You're gonna gain weight,
but it's blessed because it's church mac and cheese.
You taste the butter going down your throat as you're swallowing.
It's so bomb. Like, and so that's the type of recipe I'm giving you guys. It is creamy and delicious. The best thing that I love about this recipe is that it's like customizable. So you can double it, you can triple it, you can make it 10 times as much, because the proportions are there. Because I understand, like I just said, everybody doesn't want a full pan of baked mac and cheese. But sometimes you do want mac and cheese, you want to make it smaller. You can use this recipe and everything you can divide down to be able to make it into, you know, for two for 20, you know, however much you want to make it. So I love that about it. And then I love that it's just good and it doesn't separate and you don't have any dry noodles, which I think is the most important part of mac and cheese. It's like no dry noodles. Because why?
I like the crunchy bits.
I like the edges to get the crunchiness and the top to give me some crunchiness. But inside the actual mac and cheese,
I don't want to dry mac and cheese.
You shouldn't have any crunchiness because that means your mac and cheese is dry. And nobody wants that. Like, literally, I will fold my plate in half over some dry mac and cheese. Like,
you'll just see me not eat it and just kindly throw it in the trash later.
Well, you already know I either fold my plate in half or I turn it over so that people can't see it. So I try not to be too rude.
I don't care. It just goes in trash.
So
I wasn't hungry.
Right. I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want your dry mac. So that is the recipe that will be there. As I've mentioned before, if you go to our website, the episode page, so the page where the episode is there, where you can play it within the website natively, the recipes are all linked right under the player. So you can find it there. It'll link you out to the website. And last week, if you didn't know, we gave you collard greens, both a vegan version and one with smoked turkey, and mini sweet potato pies. And the week before that, we gave you biscuits. I forgot, y'all. Y'all should have saw my face. I was like, you didn't give me.
I thought that the screen froze again. I was just like, oh, she's speaking.
Because I'm a robot. I'm a robot. And so when I break down, I'd like literally freeze when I can't remember. We gave you buttermilk biscuits, another Southern staple, like something that you want flaky layers. You don't want your biscuit to be dry. You don't want to have to drink water or soda.
You don't want Popeye's biscuits.
Basically, you want old school Popeye's biscuits, but those are even drop biscuits. These are like layered, flaky, buttery biscuits. And not to toot my own horn, but my biscuits are pretty bomb. Like,
they're really good. They are. I had them 2 weeks ago for breakfast.
They're perfect for a sandwich. They're perfect with just jam.
I was mad when I walked out the door and I didn't grab an extra one. Because
you really could have. There were like four left. But yeah, so all those recipes are there on the site. They're going to sit there forever for you guys. And this week, you definitely want this mac and cheese. If you don't have a go-to staple mac and cheese, or if people don't clean out your mac and cheese dish when you bring mac and cheese, maybe you want to try this one. Because trust and believe, good mac and cheese, there are not leftovers. It is literally one Thanksgiving dish that is never left over.
And you will get mad if you didn't make your to-go plate before
it's exactly. gone. So if yours is still sitting in the pan, your mac and cheese is trash. You got to get a new recipe. You just have to. Mm-hmm. So that'll be there for you guys. And otherwise, I think we are done. Next week, we're going to be doing the final episode for our food film series. And we also include TV in this, and this is going to be a fun one because these are going to be like all of our food TV shows that are great, like whether they're competitions or they're teach you how to cook shows or they're travel and eat shows, like whatever we enjoy watching that's food centered. Those are the shows that we're going to be bringing to you guys next week. And you'll have one final recipe. I'm trying to think. One final, or like I'll link to a couple, but it's basically, I'll just give you guys a heads up. It's desserts. It comes out.
Is it going to be the brown sugar pound cake?
I will link that one. I will link the brown sugar pound cake. I will link any pies I have. I will link my bourbon banana pudding for you guys. I will link everything that I have. And I'm going to be creating one new dessert recipe for you guys as well. That will go on to the site so that you guys can like flourish during this holiday season. If you don't do it for Thanksgiving, you can do it for
Christmas.
For Christmas and all the Friendsgivings and potlucks and office parties. Make sure, you want to make that mac and cheese for the office party. You always want to make something that you can make a complete meal when you don't eat anybody else's food. That's your tip right there. That's your tip. So yeah, and then...
Or you make sure that somebody buys something and brings it.
Exactly. So yeah, that's it for us for this week. After our food film series, we'll be moving into December.
To Christmas!
To Christmas, which makes it so much easier since I am going into no Thursember. And so... Are you laughing because of the name or are you laughing because you don't think I can do it?
Because you can't do it!
I have no faith. You failed already.
How do you fail? It's December. Y'all hear? It's no faith in me. Now, I'm about to be ripped because every time I mess up and I do something thirsty or I engage in the thirst, I have to do 20 push-ups. I'm about to be so ripped. They'd be like, goodness, you got your summer body already. Yeah, man, I did 5 million push-ups.
No girl push-ups. And I want that shoe to be on the floor so I know that your chest is level.
So
every time.
I'm going to do push-ups to the best of my ability. You can't have me out here trying to do something I can't do. So let's not get overzealous here. So you heard Tiffany laughing. I don't know why she thought it was so funny. So that's my challenge.
I know why it was funny.
That's my challenge for December. It's okay because I got people on my side. I got two supporters, okay?
You have two?
I got two supporters.
She's got two.
I have a poll currently going on Twitter asking people, do they think I can make it? And two people have voted yes for me.
How many people voted no? Because you might as well just add me on
there. It doesn't matter how many people
voted no. I'm about to go look and count myself.
All I need are the people who believe in me. And the one person who doesn't believe in me, but is willing to send me gifts every day to help curb my thirst. And I was like, you know what? You're a real one.
I'm going to start sending you thirst gifts just to... Just so I know that you'll be ripped and I'll let you know it's in preparation for your summer body. I'm trying to help you.
Don't do that to me.
I'm just sending it in text.
I need to make it. I can't believe y'all don't believe in me, man. Whatever. So that's our episode.
You can believe in yourself. That's why you put up the poll.
No, I just want to know people's opinions, you know. I thought that I had more people who believed and trusted
no.
me. But I don't. That's our episode, guys. We'll be back next week with food, TV shows, and like I said, this week, make sure you go to the blog, and which is blackgirlsdostufftoo.com, and you go to the episode page. We'll be right at the top of the page, and get the recipes from there. They'll be linked there. They'll also be on our Twitter, which is BLKGirlsDoStuff. They'll be in our Instagram, which is blackgirlsdostufftoo. It won't be on our YouTube, but that's Black Girls Do Stuff Too. And Tiffany?
I can also post it on our Tumblr at blackgirlsdostufftoo.tumblr.com.
That's it from us. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye. Oh, my pelvis.